When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my life.
Watching all them beautiful little babies come in, and I told Brother Stewart, I said, boy, Betty is like in heaven here with all these little babies, you know. She loves little babies. Of course, we all do, and thank the Lord for it, and we so appreciate so much the invitation, and appreciate Brother Will inviting me, and appreciate the church, and enjoyed the good hospitality with Sandra and Stuart and little Jonas, and but anyway, we're here this morning, and we ask that you pray for me what time that I stand here. We sang a song a minute ago, a hymn, and I thought I'm going to read this hymn. It says, God is called God's promise. It said, God has not promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all our lives through. God has not promised sun without rain, peace without sorrow, joy without pain, See, we have to, as the old saying goes, we have to have a little bit of the bitter with the sweet. You know, it's and even though it's cold outside, and I hear people grumble a lot about that, you know, especially at work, and they'll come in and grumble about it, said, "Oh, I wish it was pretty like it's supposed to be." Hey, if it was pretty all the time, you probably wouldn't appreciate it. I've had customers lived in Hawaii, and they actually get bored because of that weather, okay? It never changes. But if you come to Tennessee, you won't get bored, or Georgia, you know, right around here in the United States. But anyway, God has not promised everything to be roses all through our life. We're going to have the good and the bad together. He said, but God has promised strength as our day, rest when we labor, light on the way, grace for our trials, help from above, unfading kindness, and undying love. Isn't that wonderful? Undying love. I mean, God loves you. He'll always love you. He loved you yesterday, today, tomorrow. He'll always love you. Even after you close your eyes in death, He still loves you, don't He? His undying love. It says, though we have mingled sunshine and rain, got the good and the bad, clouds decked with rainbows and joy mixed with pain, let us still trust His mercies right on and sing His praises all the day long. See, we don't know what's going to happen from one moment to the next, do we? We have to turn and look unto the Lord. This morning, if the Lord will be with me, I've turned to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 and 58. He says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Because He gave us victory. Victory over what? Well, if we're going to battle, we certainly want the victory, don't we? If we, but He's talking about a victory over something here, isn't He? What did He give us victory over? He gave us victory over sin, didn't He? That it doesn't affect you eternally. Affects us here in life, but it doesn't affect us eternally. It doesn't affect your eternal state. But we got the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So everything hangs upon Jesus Christ. We're living in a world where people, they're, as you get up to the wickedness in high places, a lot of times they don't even like to mention Jesus Christ. And they'll tell you, oh, one religion is good as another. No, it is not. The Lord Jesus Christ is what it all hinges on. The Lord Jesus Christ. Are you ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't think you are. You wouldn't be here this morning. There's no gal that worked at the shop out there. You know, if they're good, godly, sweet little ladies like y'all, I call you the sweet little sisters of Israel. But if I refer to old gals, I'm not talking about old Baptists, okay? Anyway, this old gal was she was from Pakistan. She gave me a copy of the Quran. And I give her a copy of the Bible. She said, and I was reading in that Quran, where it says it's okay to beat your wife. And I said, well, this Quran here says it's okay to beat your wife. Said it's okay. And she, oh, no, it does not say that. So I flipped it right open to where it was and read it. Said it's okay to beat them lightly. Oh, no, you're taking that wrong. You're taking that out of the context. But see, I knew she was going to deny it, see, when I said it. But anyway, that's the Quran. See, this is the Bible. She said, I'm coming out to hear you preach sometime. I thought, if you come out to hear me preach, I'm going to preach Jesus Christ, okay? I'm not going to just say God. See, when you say God, that don't offend anybody. Because people have all kind of gods, don't they? They make gods out of everything. But there's only one God, isn't it? The Lord God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. That's what Paul called him, the Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is everything. He is everything. He said, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what kind of victory did we get? Well, did we get victory over death? Say, well, we all have to die. Probably somewhere between the conception and 120 years of age, we close our eyes and pass away. Did we get victory over that? Why did that happen anyway? Why did that happen? My dad, he'd gone on to be with the Lord. He lived to be 95 and a half years of age. And he said, I don't know why the Lord fixed it to where we have to die. Looked like he had just made so many people and just let them live forever. I said, and I guess you want to be one of them people, don't you? He said, well, yeah. But that's not the way it works, is it? That's not the way it works. Well, see, what happened is, God chose a people, but out of a people. Got them out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, did he? He's a choosing God. He said he chose them out of. That means that he didn't choose them all. Did he cheat anybody? No. Well, my wife has got about 3 sisters, and I chose her for my wife. Did I mistreat the other ones? No. That's choice, isn't it? They might think I've done them a favor. But anyway, God is a choosing God, and he chose his people, out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. Said, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Had a fellow one time, he was trying to convert me to another order of people, see, and I said, I quoted Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. He said, now Frank, that wouldn't be fair. That wouldn't be fair. Hey, it's the only fair way that there is. I would hate to be in control of my own eternal destiny. I would probably go to hell before the sun went down. That's the nature of us, isn't it? We have those old natures about us, isn't it? But anyway, as we see, he said, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See right here in Ephesians chapter 15. We just got through with what they call Easter, and we sang a song about he arose and the resurrection and all of that. And 1 Corinthians 15 is the resurrection chapter, isn't it? He says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. What is he talking about when he says the gospel? He's talking about the good news, isn't it? Gospel, gospel, tell the good news. What is the good news? The good news, as water is to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. The gospel is good news this morning, isn't it? What is the gospel anyway? Well, the gospel is, that when you turn back to Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Do you believe that? In order to believe that, something has had to happen to you. You have had to have the spiritual birth of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. Except a man be born again, he cannot believe that. He won't believe it. And if you can believe that, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. If you believe that this morning, it's a sign that you have been born again. And if you have been born again of the Spirit of God, you're in good shape. You're in good shape. Because see, God created the heavens and the earth. We accept by faith that that's true, don't we? We accept by faith, that this is God's Word. God's holy and inspired Word. Paul said to Timothy that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. He referred to them as holy, didn't he? Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. He also said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, and for proof, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. You believe that this morning? I believe it. If I didn't believe the Bible was true, I wouldn't be here this morning. I certainly wouldn't be trying to preach the gospel if I didn't believe the Bible was true. Say, well, can you explain it all? No. I don't know of anybody that can. I've seen people that think they can, but I don't know of anybody that can explain it all. Some have more light than others. But I don't claim no extra light. I'm standing up here just a merciful little preacher trying to do the best that I can. But I do know that God created the heavens and the earth. I don't care what scientists say. The Bible tells us, to beware of science, falsely so-called. Some people like to take God out of it and put science in it. I wouldn't give you a nickel for that. But anyway, he says right here, he even tells how we got here. How did we get here this morning? Well, it says right here in Genesis chapter 2, in God's holy and inspired Word, the Word of God. It says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. Oh, he made you out of dirt. He did, didn't he? He formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils a breath of life, and man became a living soul. That's how we got here. Case closed. Case closed. How did the woman get here? Well, the Bible tells us that too, don't it? It says right over here in Genesis chapter 2, verse 21. Says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman. I saw a little cartoon one time where a man sitting there and he sees a woman and he said, that's really my rib. It really is, isn't it? That's what the Bible says. So anyway, I believe it. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And listen to the rest of this. You know what the Lord called them? Mr. and Mrs. Adam. That's what they were. Mr. and Mrs. Adam, wasn't it? Her name was Adam, wasn't it? Mr. and Mrs. Adam. It says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. They come together as one in the holy bonds of matrimony. And you know what the Bible teaches? One husband and one wife for life. We know people, nowadays, they say that over about 50% of all the people that get married get divorced. That's terrible, isn't it? A fellow told me one time, he said, well, 50% of the people don't need to be married. Well, maybe they don't in that because, 50% of them get a divorce. But, the Bible says you're supposed to marry, to come together as one. And the Lord blesses that. And if you act right, and the Lord blesses you have children, he says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. How are you going to do that if you don't take them to church? How are you going to do that if you don't read the Bible to them? How are you going to do that if you don't act right yourself? they're watching you every step of the way, aren't they? Man told me one time he was out on the golf course and said it was a man and a little boy was playing golf. And he said the man was chewing tobacco. And he said the guy, he would rear back, you know, with that golf club. Said he would stand there like that, and then he'd take aim, and then he'd spit. See, and then he'd rear back and hit that ball. Said his little boy gets up there, he takes the club and rears back, and he spits, but he don't have any chewing tobacco done. See, the point is that they watch every step of you that you take. They see what you do, and they copy you. And little girls copy their mothers. My daughter, she'd try to do everything her mother done. She had her little stove and a little washing machine, all that little stuff. She wanted to do everything her mother did. She'd make out like she's going to get the groceries and all that, see. But they watch you every step of the way. And you're teaching them as you go along. You're teaching either the right way or the wrong way, aren't you? And if you teach them the right way according to God's word, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? But anyway, he says, they were both naked, the man and the woman, and they were not ashamed. Say, well, you oughtn't be saying stuff like that in the pulpit. Well, that's what the Bible says. Right there in verse 25 of chapter 2 of Genesis. What the Bible says. Shouldn't be ashamed to say something that the Bible says, should you? But, you know, there was a problem there. You know, the Lord put them in that garden and they had everything that they needed. Beautiful, if there's ever been a utopia, it was there in the Garden of Eden, wasn't it? And sometimes we think life is supposed to be a Garden of Eden. Hey, it's not. You know, just when you think everything's going well, something happens. Negatives come. We're not in heaven yet. They call it Murphy's Law, don't they? Anything can go wrong, it will. So anyway, that's the way it is. We have to deal with those things. But anyway, you know, they were in the Garden of Eden, had it made. And then along come a character. The devil. Say, well, you oughtn't be talking about the devil in the pulpit. Hey, the devil come along. You know, the Bible says the serpent. The serpent talking about the devil, did it? You think the devil don't influence, don't try to influence your life? That's why we need to go to church. That's why we need to read our Bible. That's why we need to pray all the time. But anyway, the old devil comes along and he asks her a question. See, the Lord put him in that garden. He said, you know, all of these trees, you know, you can freely eat the fruit of them. But that one tree in the middle of the garden there, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of that. Because in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That was the only stipulation, wasn't it? But you know, man has always got a problem, ain't we? Because we're man. That's why we got a problem, ain't we? Anyway, then along comes the old serpent and says, yea, hath God said, questioning God's word. Is it really God's word? You know how the people that think they're smart, you know, I had an old boy one time told me, he said, I could see people maybe 100 years ago, you know, believing that Bible is true. But I said, nowadays, with all the technology that we have available, people are crazy to believe that the Bible is true. Now, who was crazy there? Who is the fool? You know, the Bible tells us the fool has said in his heart there is no God, isn't it? I mean, which one's crazy, me or him? I said, well, you know, I said, you're believing that the Bible is not true does not make it untrue. I said, but I believe it's true. But that don't make it true either, does it? See, what you believe has no bearing on the truth, does it? You know, the truth is the truth is the truth. It just sits out there all alone, don't it? It's the truth. No matter what you think about it, what you say about it, you know, the truth is the truth. And then, but anyway, he comes to the woman and he says, yea, hath God said, you're trying to question God's word. that you may not eat of the trees of the garden. And she said, well, that tree in the middle there, the fruit of knowledge of good, and then we can't eat of it, for in the day that we touch it, we'll surely die. He said, ye shall not surely die. I heard an old fellow refer to that as the big lie in the Bible, was told by the devil, wasn't it? Ye shall not surely die. You know, sometimes you better not even talk to that type of stuff, ain't you? Better not even fool with them. You know how the Bible says, a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject them. You know why you should reject them? Because if you keep talking to them and fooling with them, they'll try to convert you to their way of thinking. One time I got through preaching a sermon and this guy comes up and he was one of them absoluters. I don't know if you know what an absoluter is. One of them absoluters, they want to try to blame God for all of the bad stuff. Which that's in total error to God's word. He said, well, I believe that God absolutely predestinated everything to happen. I said, if you left here tonight and you went down to a beer joint and got drunk and killed somebody, you think that God predestinated that? He said, yeah, I do. You know what I did? You know what I said? I didn't say nothing. You know what I did? I just shook my head and turned and walked away. I'm not going to stand there and argue with somebody. You know, most everybody, if they want to try to say God absolutely predestinated everything, if you check in their life, they've lived a pretty horrible, wicked life. Every one of those absoluters, if you check into the life that they lived, they've lived a pretty horrible life, and they want to blame it on God. One time there was this young man and his wife and a beautiful little boy, and she was with child of another, come to Triune Church. So I noticed every time that I'd preach on predestination, he would love it, boy. And then he called me up one night and wanted to ask me some questions about predestination. And see, I'd been through that before. I had a Bible there. I was down at my dad's when I was looking after my dad when he was old. And I had them marked in there. All that stuff, all them scriptures that refute this absolute predestination of everything. See? And everything he'd say, I'd just flip over there and tell him what the Bible says. And do you know what? He quit coming to church there. He wanted to find him a church that was absoluters. Of course, when he quits coming, what happened to that nice little couple? Like I run them away, okay? ain't that something, like a preacher run them away, But anyway, I said, well, that boy is an absoluter. He don't believe what we believe. Maybe he does need to go somewhere else. If I can't convert him, but that little guy, after I talked to him, he had divorced his wife and moved to the Philippine Islands, lived on, and then what he talked, he lived a pretty bad life. But if he could blame that on God, then that makes him innocent, doesn't it? See where you're going with that? So we believe in predestination, but only what the Bible says about it. God predestinated the souls of his children to be conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God predestinated all of his children. They're going to wind up in heaven with him, aren't they? That's predestination. That's what the Bible said. God did not predestinate anything evil. So don't do something bad and say, well, God made me do it, because he didn't do it. We do that out of the lust of our own hearts. But anyway, he come to that woman, and he began talking to her. And he sold her on an idea, didn't he? He said, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise. Well, the devil ain't never had to change, has he? He hadn't had to change nothing. One of the first rules in business, don't never change nothing that works. If it's working, don't change it, okay? The devil had never had to change nothing, has he? It's worked. It worked back then. It works now. You know, he said, all right, it's something that he saw that was good for food. Well, a hungry man will do anything, won't he? A broke man and a hungry man, if you get people broke and hungry, you can control them. You know, promise them a little food. You know, you might could even go out and round up some people and bring them in church if they was hungry. You say, we got food up here. You know, a hungry man will tell you anything. He might even accept Jesus Christ. Might say it with the words out of his mouth on it. Give him some free food. He said, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes. Well, let's just look about the a lot of sin. Now, all sin don't come through the eyes, but a lot of it does. You know, we see things and we want them. Pleasant to the eyes. Say, well, is there any examples of that in the Bible? Well, there was David, wasn't it? Do y'all think David is in heaven? Well, I think he is, don't you? Did he accept Jesus Christ as his personal Savior? The Bible don't say he did he? Did he get baptized? I don't think it don't say nothing about him doing it, does it? But he's in heaven, I think, don't you? See, Jesus Christ didn't come until a long time as far as appearing in the world, did it? After David was long gone dead. But old David, he was a good man. He said he was the apple of God's eye. How did he get to heaven? I'm going to tell you some things about him that's not very good. You know, we talk about sin coming through the eyes. You know, old David, said he walked up out on the roof of his castle. And old David was, said at the time of year, you know, when kings go out to battle. David is hanging around the house, isn't he? Hanging around the house. You know, his army is out there fighting in mortal combat, and he's at the house. Well, if he'd been where he was supposed to be to start with, he wouldn't have never experienced all this, would he? When we're somewhere where we don't belong or where we shouldn't be, you know, bad things happen sometimes. He walked up on the roof of the house and through his eyes said that he seen a beautiful woman taking a bath. See, sin comes in through those eyes a lot of times. And David, being the king, he has all power, and everybody did exactly what he said. He sent and had the woman brought to him. He committed adultery. She became a child. Coming through the eyes, isn't it? And, you know, David wound up killing one of his mighty men. You've heard of those mighty men of David, you know, that could do all those miraculous things that they did. Uriah the Hittite was one of those mighty men. And that man was so loyal to the troops that was fighting out there in mortal battle, that old David had him brought in. He's going to try to cover the sin. Are we any different? When we do something bad, we try to cover it up. No, most of us do. That's just the nature. You know, when we fell in Adam, that was one of the natures that we got. We were dead in sins, wouldn't we? That's the nature of the sinful, of the Adamic nature, isn't it? When he committed the sin, then he tried to cover it up. But, you know, there's just one problem. God is watching. God is watching. Heard a little story about that one time. See, this old guy broke in a house, and it was a parrot sitting over there. It was dark, and he heard a voice say, Jesus is watching you. But he didn't see nothing, you know, and the parrot said it again, said, Jesus is watching you. He said, well, I don't care nothing about Jesus. I'm not scared of him. And about that time, that parrot said to a big Rottweiler dog, said, sick him, Jesus. He was worried then, wasn't he? But anyway, Jesus is really watching us, isn't he? He knows everything that's going on. So David had this man brought in from the battlefield, sent him down to his house, hoping that he would visit his wife and his sin would be covered, he thought. But you can't cover it with God, can you? He knows everything. He knows what we're thinking. You know, this morning, if you're thinking anything bad, you need to put it out of your mind because God knows it. Preachers don't know it, but God does, don't he? He knows everything about it, don't he? The man was so loyal, he said no. He said the troops are out there fighting on the battlefield, Joab, and he said, you know, they're fighting mortal combat. I'm putting it in my own words. And said, I'm not going down to my house and lay with my wife, you know, while the troops are out there that way. I mean, look how loyal he was compared to David. And so David saw that wasn't going to work, so he sent him out to the battlefield with a note. A note where Joab put him in the forefront of the hottest battle and withdraw from him and let him be killed. So they put him out. They put him at a place where they knew where there were valiant men there fighting, enemies. And they withdrew. And you know what happened? He got killed. He got killed. I guess David just got it made. Now his trouble's over. He brings Uriah's wife in, you know, and marries her. They have that little baby. You know what happens? He got sick. He got sick. And old David, he said he lay up on the earth for 7 days. He was praying. You know what happened? The little baby passed away, didn't it? He passed away. You see, but old David, he believed in the resurrection, didn't he? Because you know what he said? They said after the baby died, he got up and he washed himself and he got him something to eat. And they asked him about it. He said, said the baby is dead. He can't come to me, but I can go to him. He believed that he would see that little baby in heaven, didn't he? That tells you a lot, doesn't it? Say, well, there was another man, when Joshua was going into Jericho, and they went up there and they went around that wall, fell, and killed all them people. And, they were instructed, don't fool with anything. Don't take any of those treasures. That silver and gold goes, to the treasury. But he saw something through his eyes, didn't he? He saw a goodly Babylonish robe. And he saw some silver and a wedge of gold. He just had to have it, didn't he? You know, when he got caught, Israel went into battle after that, and they lost a simple little battle where they're just going to send a few men up there and take care of the problem. They sent the men up there, and the men come running for their lives. And a lot of them got killed. And Joshua, they were tore all to pieces. And come to find out that knew somebody had sinned. Somebody had sinned. And then when they found out it was Achan, you can always remember this little story. See, Achan wound up Achan in the Valley of Achor. See, Achan, he said that when they confronted him, he said, I saw a Babylonish of garment. I saw the silver and I saw the wedge of gold and said, I saw it. Then the next step, I took it. See, the Lord always provides a way out if you'll take it. David didn't take it. He didn't take it either, did he? He said, I saw it and I coveted it. I wanted it. And then I took it. And then I hid it in the ground of my tent. Saw it, I coveted it, saw he wanted it, he took it, and then he buried it, tried to cover it up. That's just the way the sin happens, isn't it? A lot of times it happens. But anyway, as we look and we see what happened. See, Eve, it said he convinced her, that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and desire to make one wise. So she took it and ate of it, didn't she? And not only did she eat of it, she gave to Adam. Now, Adam had better sense than that, didn't he? Adam had better sense than that. You know, we all love our wives, but you should never, ever let your wife make you do something wrong. You know, the Lord punished Adam for that. He said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and not did what I told you. So therefore Adam took of it, and they both of them got cast out of the garden. Listen to what happened to them. Said, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. Hard times are coming upon you, buddy. Why do we have a hard time in life? Because of the sins of Adam, didn't it? Because of Adam. Why do we have to die physically? Because of the sin of Adam. Why is all our little children, as they come into the world, they're born dead in sins? Some people don't like to hear that, do they? It don't matter what you like to hear it or not, it's the truth. When they come into the world, they're born in sins and depravity. They're dead in sins. They need a Savior. We all need a Savior. See, the Lord didn't leave us in that mess, did He? But He said, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return into the ground. See, that's the natural death that we've got to go to. Said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Well, when he ate of it that day, did they die? They did. Not physically. Old Adam lived to be 930 years. He was that old before he actually died. You know, the Lord is serious, isn't He? It's serious business, isn't it? But see, that tells us that we all got to die. He said, for dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. Well, what in the world are we going to do? What in the world are we going to do about that? So, well, I guess we can just take a negative attitude and just, wring our hands or whatever. You can wring your hands or you can roll your sleeves up and get busy, can't you? You know, some people will say, well, some people won't even have that all men fell in Adam. I've had people that try to argue with me that didn't happen. You know, they say, well, what Adam did had nothing to do with us. It had everything to do with us. That's why that when all you got to do to believe the depravity of man is just look in the mirror. I don't have no problem at all believing it. All you got to do to believe in depravity is think about what goes through your depraved little minds. Have you ever sat and said, well, I'm going to think positive. I'm not going to think but nothing but good thoughts. How long does that last? How many seconds does that last? Something will go through your mind. You'll look at somebody and think something negative, won't you? You know, it's just part of our nature, isn't it? That shows us how weak we are and how bad that we need a Savior. But see, the Lord, He loved us and He sent His Son to bleed and to die upon the cross of Calvary. And so therefore, by His death, His burial, and His resurrections, all of your sins are forgiven as far as your eternal state. Say, well, there's two types of salvation in it. There's the eternal part, and there's the temporal part, or the natural part. We'll get into that in a minute. The eternal part, you don't have to worry about that. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ has taken care of all of that. When He went to the cross, He took all of your sins and He nailed them to the cross. They won't affect you at all eternally. This is God's children I'm talking about. God's children. And every one of them is going to be in heaven. Every one of them. He won't lose a one of them. He says right here, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand. That's the eternal gospel, isn't it? You don't have to worry about it. I don't sit around and worry about going to hell, do you? And I don't worry about nobody else going. Wouldn't that be a miserable life? Wouldn't that be a miserable life? The reason I don't worry about that is because Christ has already taken care of it. And all that the Father gave to Christ will be in heaven. Say, well, I know how many people are going to be in heaven. Well, you read John chapter 17, verse 2, says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. How many is going to be in heaven? Everybody that God gave to Christ. And I believe that's you people this morning, because if you didn't believe in Christ, you wouldn't be here, would you? So heaven is going to be your home. You know, I wouldn't worry that I wasn't going to heaven, would you? But we're going to go a little bit further here. Verse 2 of 1 Corinthians 15. He's talking about preaching the gospel. By which also ye are saved. Oh, does the gospel save you? Well, you better be careful. You better be careful. You know, when the Bible uses the word saved, people come up and say, are you saved? Well, saved from what? That's not a bad question, is it? Saved from what? Well, I got saved. I was saved from being hungry this morning because Sandra fixed us breakfast. Well, I was saved from being a drunk because I didn't drink the stuff. You know, you're saved from being an adulterer by not doing it. But he said, by which also ye are saved if you keep in memory what I preached to you. Well, yeah, that's very obvious that that's talking about another salvation right here in time. You know, you got the sweet by and by, which was taken care of by the Lord Jesus Christ. You got the nasty now and now, you know, that we got to worry about. This is what we got to work at, isn't it? Now, there's a salvation here in time, isn't it? Say, well, did God predestinate all things? We're not little robots. We don't just walk around and do everything perfect, do we? As a matter of fact, we do everything bad, don't we, if we don't watch. But he said you'll be saved, by that gospel if you keep in memory what he preached to you. That's a salvation here in time, as in Acts chapter 2 when he says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. That's important, isn't it? Save yourselves. A fellow told me one time, he said, you're in charge of your own salvation because, you know, the Bible says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, you can't do nothing about your eternal salvation. But you can work out this one down here if you do what you're supposed to do. How do you do that? You know, for one thing, you go to church, don't you? Number two, you know, you read God's Word and try to live by it. And, number three, you pray. You pray to the Lord to help us through. He'll help you through. He can bless every area in your life. He can bless your marriage. He can bless your children. We get blessings from obedience, not disobedience. He said, for I delivered unto you first of all that which also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Sounds like Paul was pretty hooked on the Scriptures, don't it? So, well, he was writing some of that stuff. He was. He was. Said that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Do you believe that Christ rose from the dead this morning? I do. See, that's what sets us apart from all so-called religions in the world, is because we have a Savior that rose from the dead. He says right here, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Yeah. Some people, everybody don't believe in it. The Sadducees didn't believe in it, did they? That's why they were sad, you see? Because they didn't believe in the resurrection. If you don't believe in the resurrection, then you will be sad too, you see? So there you go. So he said, and if Christ didn't rise, you know what happened? I'd be foolish up here preaching. He said, it'd just be vanity. Wouldn't be no use in it whatsoever if Christ didn't rise from the dead. Everything's hinging on the resurrection of Christ, isn't it? And if Christ didn't rise, all the beautiful little loved ones like our mothers and our daddies and all the sweet little people that died in Christ, they would be perished. That'd be pitiful, wouldn't it? But we know that Christ rose up. He was in the grave 3 days and three nights, and he rose from the dead. He was seen of 500 witnesses and seen of all the apostles. You could take 500 witnesses and convict anybody in the court of law. You know, sometimes it takes two or three witnesses, don't it? They had 500 witnesses. And then he instructed those disciples and rose up and went back and sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And there he maketh intercession for us through our prayers. Say, so, well, what can we do? What can we do? You can thank God, can't you? You can thank God. He said, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave you the victory over death and sins, didn't he? Through the death, burial, and resurrection of his Son. He gave you victory even over the grave. When you go into that grave, you're going to be resurrected. Why? Because Christ was resurrected. So what are we going to look like when we come out? Are we going to look like we do now? I don't know. I'd like to be better looking than I am now when I come out. But you know, I think we're going to have our identity. I'd like to be taller, you know. But it's not going to happen, is it? But when we come out of that grave, what are we going to look like? Well, 1 Corinthians tells you. You go home and read it. It says it's going to be a glorified body, isn't it? It's going to be a spiritual body, isn't it? Do you believe that this morning? I believe it with all my heart because the Bible tells us that it is. Say, are we going to know one another? Well, I hope we do. I hope we do. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ carried Peter, James, and John up to the Mount of Transfiguration, they saw Moses and Elias. You notice how they were able to identify them. You know, they were dead a long, long time ago, but they were in their resurrected bodies, weren't they? They were in a different type of body. Anyway, I'll put it that way, see? But anyway, you know, you say, well, who believes in that? Well, Job believed in the resurrection, didn't he? He said, though after the skin worm destroyed my body, he's talking about death. He said, yet in my flesh shall I see God, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. You know, he believed, you know, that there was a Messiah come at the end of time, and he believed, you know, that he would see God with his own eyes, didn't he? He believed in the resurrection. David believed in the resurrection. We believe in the resurrection. Now that we got all that behind us, what are we going to do? Well, the Bible tells you right here in verse 58, and we'll close with this. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, you know, he's talking about God's children. The Bible is written to God's children. It's not written to the wicked, it's written to God's children. If you don't believe it, read about the first or second paragraph in every one of those books. It'll tell you exactly who the Bible is written to. Every time it's written to children of God. It's for their benefit while they live here in this world. He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. That means strong, isn't it? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to fend against the wiles of the devil. Why would he say that if the devil had no power at all? He don't have any power over your eternal self, your eternal life, but he can mess you up down here, can't he? He can mess you up. He can take your fallen Adam nature and wrap it around your neck. We don't want that to happen because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So if you have Christ in your life, He is greater than the devil, isn't it? He said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What does abounding mean? That means producing plentifully. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. What is abounding? Could it be reading the Bible all night, or, you know, sitting up, or going to church every Sunday, or, you know, trying to, you know, it can mean a lot of things, but, you know, the Lord, that's not in vain, is it? All the things that you do in the Lord is not in vain, is it? Trying to be good to one another, nice to one another. Would you give a thirsty man a drink of water? Would you give a hungry man something to eat? That's the way you identify God's people all over the world, isn't it? God's people are the ones that give you a drink of water if you're thirsty. They're the ones that would give you food if you was hungry, isn't it? That's the ones that's going to go away into everlasting life, isn't it? But he says, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, God bless you this morning, and after the preaching of the gospel, we sing a song, and while we sing that song, if somebody would like to be a member of this church, you let it be known, and I'm sure the church would be glad to wait upon you. God bless you.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious sins of gold, that makes me white as snow. Other bounds I know, nothing but the blood. For my heart and bliss I see nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Other found I know, nothing but the blood. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This